a man who'd been driving for quite a long time out in the country, and as he was passing this farm, cat ran out on the road and he accidentally killed it. But he was a conscientious man, so he stopped and went back to the house, the farmhouse, and went up to the door. And the housewife came to the door and he said, "Pardon me, ma'am, I'm really sorry, but I was just driving past this farm and a cat ran out on the road and I killed it. And I just didn't want to keep going and not say anything. So I just want to tell you, I'm really sorry this happened and I wanted you to know about it." And she said, "Wait a minute, are you sure it was our cat? I mean, what does it look like?"
He said, "It looks like this."
She said, "You are a horrible, horrible man." She said, "I meant, what did it look like before you hit it?" Ah! Oh, sorry about that. Sorry about that. No, I'm not sorry about that. Anyway, I grew up on a farm, and I know that you can't tell secrets on farms because the corn all has ears. And anyway, I'm in a series on dirt. A series on, called Dirt, and it's really about soil. Jesus told a story about soils of people's heart, and he used the illustration of sowing seed. And we know from farming that if you want increase, if you want a crop, you've got to sow some things. You've got to sow seed. You've got to sow hard work. And if we want to have increase, have you heard that word before this year at all in 2019? If you want to have increase in our life, we've got to sow some things into it. We're going to have to contend in prayer. We're going to have to sow seed. We're going to have to put effort into it. The board and I, in a recent discussion, were realizing, you know, if we're going to be a church that grows, if there's increase numerically, and we believe that God cares for everyone and wants them, he doesn't want anybody lost, he wants them in his kingdom. So, and even the vision that God gave our founding pastor was that there would be one day a church of 500 spirit-filled believers in the center of Leroy. And we have a building now that seats almost 250. So it's possible that God could do this. And we realize, you know, a church of 250 or 300 or 350 is going to have to be structured differently than a church of 100 or 150. And so we're going to have to put some work into saying, how are we going to restructure ourselves? And so Jesus comes along and he tells the story about seed being sown. And he says this, first of all, he says, "In the same day, Jesus left the house, sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. And he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told them many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. 'Listen,' he said, 'a farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on the footpath. The birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because that soil was shallow. Plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have any deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as been planted. Anyone who has ears to hear should listen and understand." Now remember, parables, I've said this before, were used by Jesus to hide things not from us, but for us, and for those whose hearts are ready. And between telling that story and giving the explanation, it says this: "Blessed are your eyes because they see, your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets..." This is what he said to the small group of followers who said, "Well, explain to us what this was all about." He said, "Many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but they did not see it. They longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. For centuries, he's saying, people of God long to hear the kinds of things you're hearing today, but they didn't have the chance. You have an opportunity. And hear these things that he said, people for centuries have been waiting to hear. The whole crowd walked away and never understood it. They didn't get the explanation. For them, it just sounded like a farming story. Like, this is a lesson in farming? What's this all about? Here's Jesus, the guy who's come in the power of the Holy Spirit doing miracles, and he's speaking words that Bible translators feel like need to be in red letters because they need to jump off the page at us because they're his words and they're powerful words. And here the crowd just walked away and said, we don't get it. You see, it's not the amazing delivery or the amazing person that makes a difference. It's the condition of the heart that makes a difference on what will happen with the word of God when it's spoken. 95% of what will happen this morning during this message is on you, not me. The only one responsible for my spiritual growth is me, and the only one responsible for your spiritual growth is you. And the crowd could have gotten more, but they left without pressing in to understand, without pressing in to get more, without pressing in for an increase, a spiritual growth in their life. And so Jesus then went on to this smaller gathering and explained. He said, now listen to the explanation of this parable above the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it, and the evil one comes, snatches away that seed that was planted in their hearts. So he's got, okay, there's this farmer with a seed bag, and the seed is the word of God. And he's like, this farmer is just planting seeds. Sorry, Kayla. He's planting seeds. He's scattering seeds. And some of it fell on the path, on the footpath. He said, let me tell you guys what about the people who hear the word of God. Let me tell you about those that are listening, hearing, or not listening. He said there's some seed that the farmer sows that falls on a footpath. Think about the path. People can walk wherever they want. When it comes to a woods, they can walk. They can walk. They can just start bushwhacking through the woods. If there's a field, a garden, a lawn, they can walk across the middle. But people's human nature is to take the path. The path is where most people walk. It's the path most people have chosen. And most people don't wander off the path. Most people take a path. And he's saying, the seeds that fall on the footpath, when the word of God falls on hearts that choose to be like most people and walk where most people walk, that word is not going to have any effect. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? There's a path most people walk, and if you want to be like everyone else, the word of God will have no effect on your life. Because you're walking a life that's on a footpath. Your heart's on a footpath. It's hardened. It's trodden down. Most people walk there. And when the seed goes there, the birds come and steal it away. You know, I don't know if you've ever walked out of the church on a Sunday morning and seen a little beast with glazed eyes and two horns and a forked tail and a pitchfork stand out there and try to scare you away from believing the word of God. But I never have. But the birds that come to steal off the footpath of life, they're appealing. They're beautiful. We have some pictures. There's birds have started showing back up in Western New York. Just go ahead and start rolling through. Aren't there some beautiful birds around here? There's an oriole, a cardinal. Oh, my goodness. Some gorgeous birds. Satan doesn't come at us after church or after hearing the word of God with some ugly appearance. He or she, or the deception is alluring, it's appealing, it's got some beauty to it. When Satan shows up to steal the seed off the footpath, he comes with appeal. He comes with deception. The Bible says Satan appears as an angel of light. Why? So he can deceive us. He wants to deceive people. He wants to deceive you. I can remember an attitude. I used to have this footpath heart. I used to have this attitude, well, I'm not deceived. Think about that for a moment. I'm not deceived. Is it possible to be deceived and know that you're deceived? No, by the very nature and definition of deception, if you're deceived, you don't know it. And so Satan doesn't come to deceive us, to scare us or intimidate. He comes to deceive us. And he does it with things that are appealing. Every one of us in this room is one of the hearts, has been one of the hearts in this, one of the soil illustrations that Jesus uses from one at one time or another. Maybe your life is hardened. Maybe your heart's hardened because some things have happened to you and you've said, God, if you're a God of love, why? Why this? Why has that happened to me? If your heart gets hardened that way, the word will have no effect. It'll just bounce off you. Or maybe you've got this heart that says, the church is full of hypocrites. I'm not into it. Heart that way that's hardened. The word of God will not have any effect. Jesus himself spoke to thousands of people. The Son of God himself spoke. And to most of the people, his words bounced off of him. Just bounced off. They were going to kill him no matter what he said. They weren't going to believe it. Why? But didn't they like people getting healed? Didn't they like people's lives being changed? Didn't they like people falling in love with God? No, their hearts were hardened, and it didn't matter what he said or did. Their hearts were footpath hearts. The lesson from soil number one is that the work of Jesus in our life depends on our openness. Depends on our openness. But there's a second soil Jesus told us about, and it's the seed that falls on the rocky soil, verse 20. And that represents those who hear the message, immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long, they fall away as soon as they have problems. He's in this soil, he says, something really happens. They really hear something, and there's a noticeable change. Something grows there. They have an encounter with Jesus. This isn't nothing happened. This is something happened. But then he says trouble hits or some adversity hits. It's like when in the past, you know, how maple trees have these little, we call them helicopters, those little seeds that come off the tree and they twirl around and they go wherever and they go all over the place. And you know, in early spring, summer, sometime you'll see, I would see these, you know, one day nothing in the gravel parking lot, driveway, and then a week later, it's like, where did that come from? It wasn't there a week ago, and there'd be this maple tree about six inches tall in my gravel driveway. But the thing was, is I could just reach down and grab the stem and go, boop, and up it comes. Why? Because there's no depth. It has no hardly any roots at all because there's this soil, this stone in the soil. And some people just are not anchored into anything. They had an encounter with God, but then there comes these old relationships or old friends, or some bad thing happens, lose a job or car breaks down, and whatever word was sown, the faith just out the window because there was no commitment. Soil number two, the lesson is the work of Jesus in us depends on a personal commitment. It's not just a desire for a better life. We see this all the time. Someone will say, okay, hey, whatever happened to so-and-so? Whatever happened to him? And sometimes something happens that's, you know, maybe there's an offense or whatever, but oftentimes it's, well, they started fast, but starting fast like a jackrabbit doesn't mean you're gonna end well. Everybody wants forgiveness. Everybody wants eternal life. Everybody wants a better life now. Everybody wants good circumstances and improved life, but not everybody wants lordship. That's a different thing. For instance, let's give you an illustration. Let's say somebody's had really difficult financial stress. So they get a book on financial. You know what, buddy? I think you're going to get escorted out of here. I love you, but okay. All right, we love you. So someone's having an incredible financial strain. They're in debt up to their eyebrows. They get a book on financial stewardship. There's a chapter on budgeting. There's a chapter on harnessing your spending. There's a chapter on biblical stewardship. And they 3 months later, a friend comes and I say, well, how's it going? We prayed for you. Is it getting any better? Oh, no, it's worse. I'm in worse debt now than I was 3 months ago. Well, okay, well, I'll tell you what, let's see what we can do together. Let's take a look at your budget and see what we can do. Oh, I don't have a budget. But wait a minute. Did you read the chapter? Oh, yeah, I read that 10 times. It's a really good chapter. Don't have a budget. Well, have you done anything, implemented anything to kind of help change your spending habits? Oh, no, nothing's changed. Did you read the chapter on harnessing your spending? Oh, yeah. It's a great chapter. I read that at least 10 times. There's no commitment. There's no commitment. There's no submitting to anything that requires a change. Jesus is not a magician. The Bible's not a magic book. But if we put our faith in it and do it, it will bring real transformation. A lot of people believe in God. A lot of people believe in God, but they don't believe in anything that requires a commitment. God's speaking to somebody right now. You can believe in God and not believe in things that require commitments or change. Desires and good intentions don't count if we don't act on the Word of God. I'm going to jump ahead to the third soil, Matthew 13, 22. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. This is a different animal altogether, because this soil can grow some stuff. This isn't stony soil. This soil can grow things. And but the problem is there's too many things growing in it for there to be fruit from it. Now I have here a planter that's got some really lush basil growing in it. I mean, it's aromatic. I can smell it standing right here. This would be good for cooking right now. All you people with Italian blood in there are just, your mouth's starting to water over that. You want to use it. But Jesus says there's these darn weeds in their life. But in this soil, Jesus said there's something happens here again. It's really fertile. There's growth here. A person has a love for God. They desire the things of God. They truly do have a desire there. They truly do have a love for God there. But there's things that are strangling out the plants. And what are they? Jesus said they're the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. Not wealth itself, but the deceitfulness of it. Now, here's what it looks like. If these plants are doing really well, but they get crowded out with other stuff, they will not be any good for anything. What are some of the things that could be put in that that could be the problems? Well, there's nothing sinful about a house. We all have to live in one. But if your house becomes like the source of your energy, you know, that's not a good thing. Or maybe there's a boy in your life that you're just thinking about all the time. Or there's not a boy in your life and you wish there was a boy in your life. Or maybe there's a girl in your life who's really hot and that's all you can think about is that girl. Or maybe you're really into your profession so much, like you've got to have a title. And it says, you know, I want my name on the website so everybody thinks I'm something. And pretty soon, oh, there's my education. There's, you can smell it now, can't you? As it's dying there. And there's my, there's our educational pursuits. And listen, there's not sinful about any of those things. There can be our hobbies, the things, our passions, the things that we just love to play all the time. Or, man, we got to have more toys in our life. That's a nice toy, isn't it? I don't know what the nursery kids are playing with today, but no, that one doesn't want to stay there. That was a nice try. Or we got to be on the internet. No, I'm not doing that. Or we're worried about money. There's never enough money at the end of the month. We like to be on our phone all the time when we're going to have a quiet time with God. Oh, that basil's not looking so good. It could have really been helpful to somebody. Now, I heard the shocks in here. The shrieks of horror as that basil was being crushed and ruined. I don't like wasting things. Can you imagine how God reacts when we waste the seed that He plants in our lives that has such power, so much potential for change, transformation, and freedom? And we crowd it out with the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. There really are leaves in there. There really are a lot of good intentions in that heart. But there's not much fruit being produced. There's not much change. The lesson from soil number 3 is that the work of Jesus Christ in us must be our first priority. By the way, if any of you ladies want to take some basil home at the end of the service, I have little Ziploc bags. Come on up, take some leaves home. I'm going to get my wallet out of there before anybody takes that. My phone, thank you. Okay. I love you all, but there is one other type of people Jesus talked about. Matthew 13:23, the seed that fell on good soil, those who truly hear, understand it, and produce, they do some things and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or 100 times as much. Soil number 4, the Lord's work in our life involves consistent choices over a period of time. It's more than an emotional response. It's more than taking a knee at the altar, as important as that is. It's more than someone going to youth camp and rushing up to the altar and having some tears. The youth camp can be a powerful time. I want all our kids to go to youth camp. But it's about taking all this stuff and just giving it to the Lord. It's not saying God doesn't want us to have jobs or education or hobbies or relationships or houses. but it's just submitting it to Him. God's the priority. You seek me first in my kingdom, I'll give you all the things that you need, he said. Phyllis, if you'd come, and altar teams. How do we make the most of the soil that's in our hearts? How do we do that? Number one, we got to avail ourselves of the word every chance we get. How many of you have Bibles in your home or on your phone? Avail yourself of it every chance you get. It's your dad that wants to talk to you. He wants to be with you more than you want to be with him. Spend time with him. Let it soak in. Meditate on it. Avail yourself of it Sunday morning, small groups, every chance you get. Avail yourself of it. Number two, accept it. These aren't just the words of an archaic book that's out of touch with reality. God's word is living and active. And if there's parts of it that we don't like in our flesh, guess who adjusts? We do. We don't like the words in the Bible about sexuality, we adjust. We don't like the words in the Bible about generosity, we adjust. If we don't like the words about forgiving people, we adjust. We don't just change. We don't just toss out certain sections. We don't blow by them and say, well, someday I'll do that. No, we adjust. We accept it as God's word. We don't try to change the word or make excuses. We adjust. We obey it. That's the third point. We just do this. That's how we produce a crop. That's how we increase. It's not a story about farming techniques. Oh, wow. The aroma of basil here is amazing. Let's stand and pray. You know, we can sit in church every Sunday and it won't change our life. Let's just close our eyes. Pray, Lord, would you open my heart and change my mind? Would you help me stop kidding myself? Disregarding certain sections of the Bible that I don't agree with. Ignoring the word every chance I get when you've given us so much opportunity to take it in. Lord, forgive us for walking the footpath, the path everybody wants to walk on, where it's just hard soil. Forgive us, Lord, for hardening our hearts and saying, if you love me, why? Lord, help us just to plow that up. Help us to plow that hard ground up and make the soil of my heart again fertile and open and aerated and able to receive life. I think it would be a good thing to ask God, have I done anything with the words you've spoken to me in the last 6 months? Do I do anything? Search me. Have I done what you've asked me to do? A long time ago. Lord, would you use us as part of your story? And somewhere between now and the Main Street, Leroy, when we go out the door and beyond that to our weeks and our schools and our workplaces and our homes and our neighborhoods, there's an enemy that opposes you, God, and he opposes your word and he opposes us. There are worries that would love to attach themselves to us. There are anxieties that would love to grab us. There's deceitfulness of things wants to grip our hearts. Lord, we put you first and we give you all those things. John chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus said, when you produce much fruit. You are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. When you produce fruit. Lord, we want to be fruit producers. We want to be Jesus followers, gardeners in the kingdom, that our lives will multiply through invitation, just inviting others to be a part, to encouraging others, to praying for others, serving others. Lord, you're a king as well as our dad. And we submit to you. And everyone said, amen. Father, I pray your blessing on each one today that heard the word. Help us to carry it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.